Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and this is a very special episode. It's the first time ever that we're doing Book It!
Not like the old Pizza Hut reading competition, is it?
Maybe. Am I going to get sued over that?
I don't know. Well,
should I go down to Pizza Hut and ask?
If you get a free personal pan pizza after the Book It, that would be pretty sweet. Then I'm glad I'm here.
I will give you a gold star to put on your button.
Yes.
And then when you get 6 gold stars...
I never did it. Let's be honest.
I do. I used to get Book It all the time. I love, because I like to read. I mean, I don't make no bones.
And you like pizza.
And I do.
So it worked.
For those that don't know, this second voice is my good colleague and friend, Adam Michaels.
Hello.
CW.
Yes, sir.
Returning here to help out on the very first time that I do Book It. So let me give the people at home real quick a rundown of the rules. Right after I do one other little item of house cleaning, that being I want to say a quick thanks to everybody who listened to the last edition of the PVD Cast, which I sat down with my two friends, Shaw and Brian, and we had a very good time doing the podcast, and a lot of people listened, and as a matter of fact, it was one of the highest rated, if you will. A lot of people listened to it, the most I've ever had listened to that edition, and I'm happy, and I appreciate it. So thank you to all the listeners for listening to that edition of the podcast.
Now, do you have like a ticker or something that tells
you? I do, actually, I do. Yeah,
oh, okay,
so
there you
go. Thanks to Podomatic.
This one's better at least have that many or more, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
So...
All right.
Standards are high.
It should, because look, we are going to take a promotion or a territory, and we are going to book it for a particular year, about 6 to 8 months, to try to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know who would want to make something worse, but we're going to try to make
Russo.
It. Huh?
Vince Russo.
Correct. Okay. But the rules are very simple. You can get rid of some people. You can hire people to make the product better. Some major storylines. Or some major feuds. What would you do with the titles? Maybe a little bit of marketing thrown in. How would you market the promotion? And pretty much, like, cost is not an issue. You don't have to worry about a budget. Don't have to worry about answering to anybody. So with that being said, after a very dramatic pause there, Adam Michaels and myself will book modern day TNA. So TNA 2013... A lot of people probably know, a lot of people that listen to this podcast probably read a lot of the internet sites and know that TNA's had some money issues recently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $600,000 every time they do a live episode of Impact.
Yeah, and that's no chump change for sure.
No, that's not. Apparently the rumor is Hulk Hogan got bounced. Hulk Hogan's check got bounced. He didn't get bounced.
Oh.
So, but he is coming to the New York City Comic Con. I just got an email about
Lovely
that.
Lovely about that.
I was like,
yes.
How about that? And several people have been released recently. Tara, D'Lo Brown, quite a few folks, if you will.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. If you're not hitting your numbers and you're not hitting the ratings, what's the point of keeping people around that are probably higher on your payroll?
You're right. And as a matter of fact, why don't we go ahead and begin with maybe some people you would get rid of?
Okay, And I hope I followed the instructions as best that
okay.
I could.
Well, hey, this is the first time we've done this. So,
you know. What I can do is, I mean, what I did was essentially build a storyline for the 6 to 8 months and then kind of fill in the gaps. Yeah, I have an overall storyline that I think would last 6 to 8 months, and then from there, I've slotted other things
okay.
within.
Okay.
But we,
okay.
if you want to talk higher, we could do that as well.
Okay, well... all right, let's just go with some storylines. What would
okay,
you do?
So
I'll go with you. Let's go that route.
Again,
okay?
Hopefully I'm following the directions.
Okay.
I didn't know what kind of rules applied as far as governing body is concerned, but what I would like to see, and I think it would help not only TNA, but another promotion that could really use a good kick in the pants, and that's Ring of Honor Wrestling. So what I think would be an awesome idea would be to do kind of they did this back in, I want to say, 94, when ECW and WWF at the time kind of had an invasion angle.
Mm-hmm.
That I would love to see a TNA / ROH invasion angle, where ROH actually invades TNA. And high level, you get some of your bigger stars of TNA. I kind of have my notes written down here. Some of the bigger stars like Roderick Strong, Kevin Steen, Mike Bennett, maybe in the crowd at TNA here and there, and they point them out. Oh, there's independent wrestling stars. They don't even say they're ROH stars. Independent wrestling stars, Roderick Strong, blah, blah, blah. Maybe do that for just a couple weeks. I know that's, again, we're talking broad spectrum here, and we can fill in the gaps later. But then maybe during a match where one of TNA's bigger stars that came from Ring of Honor, let's say like an AJ Styles or a Samoa Joe is in the ring, those guys jump the rail, take care of business, and then from there we get the whole idea of the ROH invasion angle of TNA wrestling.
Right, which, you know, again, I think, actually, I do remember when that happened with the WWF and ECW, mm-hmm. It was right around 97, because they were gearing up.
Okay.
It was like late 96, early 97, I believe, and it worked very well for ECW. The ECW got the rub on that.
Mm-hmm.
They did, because they had that whole where I remember Taz and Sabu showed up in the Dudleys and the Eliminator, so, okay, all right.
Well, and let's be honest, I mean, granted, we're 10 years older than we were, but I was very interested in TNA when it first started. I thought
sure.
Their concept was good. Their ideas were different. It wasn't part of the mainstream package. And I think that's what ROH brings on such a small scale that if you're not familiar with the organization, you probably can't even fathom what I'm thinking about here. But I think a mixture of both of those two, like the ECW and WWF angle, would at least bring somebody to the forefront and have a competitor to WWE at this time.
Well, and that's actually, I have some notes in my ideas for marketing TNA.
Okay.
And this actually will go with the marketing of ROH. I've said this from the get-go. I think they've done a lot recently with their television product, but nobody knows it's on.
No.
I never turn on like our local Sinclair Broadcasting, which is 6 and 28. I never turn it on and watching like reruns of Family Guy, and I see Ring of Honor Wrestling Sunday. Like, there's never an advertisement for it. So
no.
You don't know. How do you build a fan base of new people when they don't know it even exists?
Well, I mean, again, I might be getting off topic. I don't know how much they can afford.
Well, that's true. But going back real quick on my marketing, the very first thing I have for TNA in marketing is, you are not the WWE.
Right.
And I think that for a while now, TNA has decided that's what we're going to do. And that's bad. That's bad for business. You need to be different. No one's going to out-Vince Vince.
No.
No one is.
Nobody ever has and nobody ever will.
Right. So I think that that's the first marketing first bullet point that I put down for marketing was, you're not the WWE. The other one is, use Viacom. You have
first
that
thing
too?
I have too, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have Viacom, which is the fourth largest conglomerate of media in the world,
yep.
And there's no cross-promotion.
Not at all.
Know, there's none. You don't see, and again, I'll just throw this out there, because Viacom owns, like for an example, Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see Jon Stewart in The Daily Show. Tonight's guest is TNA superstar AJ Styles stopping by.
I agree. I have the same exact thing.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's no cross-promotion, and which I did not know this in doing a little bit of research. I did not know CBS is no longer part of Viacom.
That's
it's
correct.
Separate,
yes.
But there's still some ties, because like the president of CBS still has some ties with Viacom.
Kind of, yeah.
I just think that that's an outlet that they do not use properly.
Well, and you talk about Comedy Central. I mean, obviously the biggest network in the Viacom cable conglomerate is MTV.
Correct.
And I would think that's a lot of your target demographic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Granted, they used, it was a Wrestling Society X they tried a couple years ago, and it failed miserably. But
right.
That's neither here nor there. I mean, I don't know why they don't do more of those, you know, True Life, Wanna Be a Pro Wrestler, or even...
And remember, they had the Luchador show on MTV, too.
They did.
Remember, yeah, the other Luchador show.
So things like that, like you said, it's there. I can't imagine that it costs them a lot of money to do cross-promotion, considering all the money goes to the same pig. You know,
well,
it's same
with
Ring
of Honor, because Sinclair owns them. How hard is it to push that? Well, those are just my... That's amazing that we're both on the same Q, if you will. C-U-E, not Q
well,
as in the letter. In
for those that don't know, I mean, you and I used to book Ohio Championship
Wrestling.
Right,
which we talked about on a previous episode PVDcast.
We did have a lot of the same ideas, so.
So, okay. All right, well, we'll come back to yours there for a minute in terms of the ROH TV angle is filling. I kind of went a different way. I kind of looked at a couple of miscellaneous major feuds, but then I focused more on booking titles. Because I think that that's basically... titles, I think, first of all, historically have been used as the major focal points for storylines. Though that seems to be not the case anymore.
And I think I could fill in some gaps with you.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about all of that as well.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the TNA World title. First of all, I have not been a fan of the last several champions. I don't believe Bully Ray has brought anything to that title.
No, I agree.
I think that... Bobby Roode, I was not a real big fan of either, okay? But he had a little more credibility, I think, because of his look.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll cut him some slack on that. I thought Austin Aries was a phenomenal job because I loved how they took the X Division. He cashes in the title. He's the guy that's never going to win. He wins it.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a champion on ROH. It's believable. Then they do the exact same damn thing with Chris Sabin and piss all over Austin Aries.
Yep.
So Sabin was a complete waste.
A complete waste, yes.
And then they put the title back on Bully Ray, I guess, last week.
Yes. Okay.
So right off the bat for the world title, I'm just going to say Bully Ray will drop it right away to Samoa Joe in my booking.
Okay.
Bully Ray would be fired. He would be released because I believe both D-Von and Bully Ray have never taken a break from American wrestling for the fans to really miss them.
True.
I mean, think about it. They've gone nonstop since they finally got over in ECW and have never stopped. I'm tired of seeing them.
Mm-hmm. And they're getting old.
And they are. And actually, the rumor is that D-Von may be leaving to take a agent position vacated by D'Lo Brown.
Ah, okay.
So that he was going to be another one that was cut. So Bully Ray's gone. I put the belt on Samoa Joe because I think he's the most underutilized star there. So Samoa Joe in my re-imaging of the world title picture would be the badass, the Samoan submission machine, the guy, kind of like a Taz in ECW. He's the guy you don't want to mess with. In the process of that, for a couple of months, Samoa Joe, I would have feud with Mr. Anderson, no longer a member of Aces and Eights.
Well, I think, I don't know about you, I can that whole storyline tomorrow.
I would not, and I'll tell you why. My Aces and Eights would be reduced to three people. Wes Briscoe, Garrett Bischoff, and Mike Knox. And I'll explain why in a little bit.
All right.
I would keep those three for the time being. Granted, some of their skills are a little lackluster. But anyways. Okay, so while Anderson and Samoa Joe are fighting, I've always thought that if you have a very strong face as your champion, you need an even bigger, badder, crazier, more demonic, whatever, heel to chase. There would be no more Joseph Park. He would go back to being Abyss. I would rehire Jim Mitchell as his manager. And I would go out and hire Chance Profit to be the sidekick to Abyss. Because I think Chance Profit is a solid enough wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that I think deserves a break. His gimmick is scary as shit. And I think that those two together, while Joe and Ken Anderson are doing their things, build those two up as monster heels so that finally you have Joe versus Jim Mitchell's army in a very brutal, very violent feud. Give it a couple of months there. And here's where I think I'm going to get some criticism. I think I would put Joe over and Abyss and Chance would be done.
Okay.
So what do you think? You feel free to agree, disagree, tell me I'm a moron, I don't care, whatevs. You know?
I guess I don't disagree with it. That's where I was having the most trouble when I was booking this. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched TNA Wrestling for a while.
Okay.
I found it very stale. I despise Hulk Hogan.
another one that would be fired.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's on my list.
I give the guy credit for everything he did back in the day, but in the last... I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. In the last 5 years, I just can't stand him anymore. I mean, I can't stand looking at him. I can't stand listening to him give promos. Yeah, he's just... I don't think he brings anything to live television anymore. He's done.
Right. Okay.
And that was my biggest thing, is obviously getting rid of him. And I don't know about Eric Bischoff. I don't know really what he does behind the scenes as much as what he does on camera. So,
well, he hasn't been around on camera. Yeah. He's been around back. And so I didn't even put him on the list of people to stay or go. You know, speaking of people that really bring nothing to the TV product, I would get rid of all the MMA guys. Rampage, Tito Ortiz, King Mo, all of them are gone. I don't see that they bring anything whatsoever. Wow, you did. you literally ripped out all UFC guys. Yeah, yes. I would get rid of them. I don't think they bring anything to the table.
Nope.
You've been trying it and trying it and trying it, and if it was going to work, it would have worked, and it hasn't worked. I don't, you know.
Well, and the thing is, who honestly believes that somebody who has kicked the shit out of people and gotten punched in the face for a living is going to come and do choreographed wrestling?
Right, yeah, right. It's not believable.
It's not. I mean...
No. Not in today's day and age. It worked in the day with Ken Shamrock and Dan Severin when things were different back then.
But they wouldn't get over now.
Oh no, no.
But yeah, I don't get the appeal of like Tito Ortiz and Rampage. Lose them.
So they would be gone. I would get rid of Sting because
I agree.
The WWE wants him for the Hall of Fame. Let him go. I don't think anybody cares that he's around. I would get rid of him. Two others that I would get rid of, but I would keep them around, and I'll explain. I would get rid of Cowboy James Storm.
You'd get rid of him.
I would, but I would give him. I would give him like a front office position.
Okay.
Because the rumor is, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've always told that the first person, if you go down for a tryout at TNA, first person you meet is Cowboy James Storm, and depending on your conversation with him, like if you're jovial and friendly and you're easy to get along with, you get the nod to.
Hang out.
Yeah. This guy will be okay. Let's give him a fair shake. I would keep him around just for that. If he's got a good, I'm going to call bullshit detector, I'd keep him around for that.
Okay.
I don't think I would put him in the ring anymore. And Kurt Angle would be the other one.
Yeah.
I would keep him around as a front office guy, but I would not use him in the ring anymore because I just don't think there's an appeal anymore with him.
Quite honestly, I think he's a liability.
Well, given current issues that he is currently going with. Yeah. I mean, I would give you that too. Here's just... I'll just run off the other folks that I would get rid of real quick. I would get rid of Christy Hemme. I'm sorry. I don't think she's a good ring announcer. And if she is, as the rumor is, if she's as expensive...
Okay.
As she's supposed to be, get rid of her. There's a bunch of other people you can get that fill the slot.
Okay. I give you that. I mean, I guess I didn't really think about her too much, considering you don't see a whole lot of her, but...
I would get rid of Jesse Goddard's, Rob Terry, and Robbie E., all gone. You're shaking your head. Yes. Okay. Gunner and Jay Bradley.
I have them both on my list.
Back to the Indies. Sam Shaw and Rockstar Spud.
Rockstar Spud. I had yes.
Back to the Indies. And the one that's I know this is going to cause controversy, but I think when you look at the Knockouts division, if you're going to keep one girl that's beautiful that can't wrestle, it's not Velvet Sky. I think you keep Tessmacher.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Velvet Sky, I'm sorry, I would shit can you as well.
I think at least Tessmacher is gaining some skill. I don't think she's as horrible as she was on day one. Velvet Sky is as bad as she was 4 years ago. I think she's just terrible.
Yeah. She's not. She's not good. And I think that if you're going to... I'll let you go. You got any other kind of storylines or whatnot? I have quite a few actually.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I came up with the TNA ROH angles was when I was thinking of the firing and the hiring. I started going back to who I would hire, and I tried to go back to, like I said, the beginning of what made TNA interesting when we started watching, but you know, in its inception, it was more about the wrestling. If you remember, they did those weekly pay-per-views. They did some where they did, like, the America's Cup or whatever. It was like Americans versus Mexicans and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
yeah, that, yeah. I guess the Canadians. Yeah. And it was like a team. Yeah, right.
So I think you bring in more guys that can go in the ring as opposed to guys that are really good on the mic. So I started listing a lot of ROH guys, and that's kind of how I segued into that. But I think they really have to get back into good tag team wrestling. I think that's what was huge for them. I don't think you would have seen Chris Sabin as a champion without the Motor City Machine Guns. Mm-hmm. James Storm wouldn't have been around without AMW and Beer Money. Bobby Roode, probably the same way. He was with the Canadian faction there. I don't know if they had a name. I can't remember if they were just...
Team Canada. Team Canada.
With Scott D'Amore and those guys.
Right.
But I think getting back into the basics as opposed to all these ridiculous storylines. I mean, I think if you want theater, you watch Monday Night Raw. If you want wrestling, right now we don't have... To watch wrestling, we watch ROH at freaking 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. You know, you record it and you watch it when you get a chance.
Right, yeah,
I'm not making time to watch it.
Right.
And right now I don't make time to watch TNA either because it's the same thing I see on Monday nights. I want something different.
Right.
I think the way they started off Impact, I guess that will be shown tonight, they do like a six-man ladder match for the Bound for Glory series. That's good. That's the kind of stuff you have to do because that's what's not happening on Monday nights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to differentiate you.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm going to talk about tag teams because I totally agree with you. But let me just finish up real quick a couple other things for the TNA World title because we're talking about... So my scheme was Joe.
Yes.
And Anderson, then Joe and Mitchell's Army, and then Joe's still the champ. The person that would beat, I think, Joe for the title, but Joe would be so battered from that feud that I believe it's believable. I would bring Charlie Haas in.
Okay.
Charlie Haas, like, with the asshole outlaw Mad Texan gimmick that he was doing in Ring of Honor before he left. Haas would come in. I think I would have him win the title off of a battered Samoa Joe, have Joe, like, take a couple weeks off, and then Joe start chasing him.
You wouldn't bring in Shelton Benjamin for the world's greatest tag team for your tag team division?
No? I would not. I would not.
I mean, they have some credibility.
They do.
Sense.
They do. And that's a possibility. I mean, that is. I wouldn't only because I guess the way that I was thinking was that Benjamin's over in Japan right now. And I think that, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. That's a good point.
Because, like,
man,
the first people I thought of were the Kings of Wrestling. I mean, I know that Claudio Castagnoli is pretty much off the table. But if... We're talking hypothetically here.
Sure. Oh,
and money's no object. I'm bringing him and Cassius Ohno back to, you know, together and have them.
Would you let them be?
Hell yes, I would.
They would be, yeah, exactly. I'm not. I would never change anybody's name here. You're going to hear me throw out some other folks. And they get their names.
Chris Hero and Claudio.
Chris Hero.
And absolutely.
Claudio. All right. Yeah. But speaking of the world title picture, I would still keep some of these people in the mix. I would put Aries back together with another feud with Bobby Roode and let them go, but keep them in the mix as world title contenders. I would keep Mr. Anderson in there, and I would keep Magnus. I think I'm impressed with Magnus. I think he's a good wrestler. He's got a good look.
I think he's got a good look, for sure.
And I would have him... That's who Haas would feud with to build him before Joe. I would have Magnus and Haas feud. I would keep AJ Styles if he re-signs. There's now currently, I just read today, that he may be gone.
And I think that'd be a huge loss if he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they don't sign him.
I don't either, but here's the thing. I hate the emo AJ Styles.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well,
that's bullshit. He's the John Cena of that company.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason to make him a heel and make him this whiny little bitch that he is.
I agree.
Okay, and the last person that I would add to the TNA World title, and I'll probably get some disagreement on this. I would go and sign Sean Daivari.
And for the world title?
I would.
All right, I need some explanation there.
I'll give it to you, because I know he's a smaller guy. But I think, A, even though he's smaller and he's right around that 200-pound mark, he's still kind of put together in that he looks bigger than he is.
Okay.
So I think you can get away with that. I think that he can go. The guy can work. And I think, as awful and as cheesy as it's going to sound, I think you bring him in. He's from Iran. He's got Iranian heritage. He was born in the United States. He was born in Minnesota. But you play up that whole, this is a good guy, Middle Eastern guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you pull in some viewers that way.
You could. True.
You know, I mean, I know it's tired. I really feel uncomfortable saying that because I don't want to pander. But you have to in this business of entertainment. So I would bring him in to kind of get some more Middle Eastern viewers. I'm not saying I put him over for the title, but I would put him in the mix.
Okay. I mean, I get where you're going. Okay. I don't know. I guess he's just not a guy that I thought of.
Okay. Okay, so tag teams. You go back to tag teams. Who would you have in that tag team division? Who would you keep in there? Who would you maybe add to it besides the Kings of Wrestling?
I like Kazarian and Daniels. Oh, yeah. I like their gimmick.
I do too.
I think they're good together. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kazarian can last on his own. I think Daniels can. I don't think Kazarian can. Definitely bring those guys in. I don't like the Briscoes, but they're really the only tag team I can think of that would give instant credibility. I don't know if you bring them in just for a run.
And they're over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's inexplicable. I don't get it either, but they're over, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to see Roderick Strong in there somewhere.
In a tag team division.
Yeah. Just to get his name in there a little
would
bit.
Would you reunite him with Austin Aries? Because they weren't helping the tag team in ROH.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dad have to pull Aries out of your title picture.
Well, no, that's your own world title, not mine. This is mine, that's yours. Okay, in tag teams, Bad Influence. If I got rid of James Storm and Gunner, I would have a tournament I'd put Bad Influence over.
Mm-hmm.
I would keep Chavo and Hernandez in that mix.
I'm not a big Hernandez fan, but...
Really?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I think he's just clunky, and... I get the point. I mean, but I just don't understand. I don't buy into him, I guess.
All right. Okay. I would keep two members of Aces and Eights in the tag team picture, but more on them in a minute. I'm really going to go out on a limb on this one, but I like this idea. Okay, they have had Trent Barretta.
Yes.
As his actual real name, Greg Mascalusco or whatever it is. It's hard to pronounce. That's terrible. You shouldn't go by that. I would have him, Trent Barretta, disappear for a while, and I would bring him back somehow. I don't know how I would do it yet. Maybe he gets hit in the head or something. I would bring him back as Greg Gargano and signed Johnny Gargano, so they would be cousins, and I would have them as a tag team going against. Basically, I would have them work Bad Influence for the tag titles for 2 or 3 months.
The Amazing Gargano Brothers,
dude, that's a badass name. I never thought of that.
Maybe they could be acrobats. The Amazing Gargano Brothers.
Well, I think those two go together. I think that they would work really well. And then here's what I would... Okay, the Garganos win the tag belts after 2-3 months of Bad Influence. I'd let them have a few matches with Chavo and Hernandez.
Mm.
And then, you know, the classic face-face. But when they can't beat Chavo and Hernandez, they turn heel. You know, start and then have them feud for a couple of months.
Okay.
But I'm not done with tag teams. All right. No, I thought of this one. I'd get rid of the TV title.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't think it does anything, and I would get rid of, if they haven't already, the Knockouts tag titles. I think they did get rid of them.
I don't think they still exist.
But I would bring back, I would institute new 6-man tag team championships.
Oh, yes. Not a trophy, you'd actually get
belts. No, I'd give belts. And here's what I'd have Aces and Eights in that. I would have them be the first champs. I would sign the Colony from Shikara.
Sure.
And then this one is, again, another one I'm going out on a limb. Eric Young, already there, giant beard. I would sign Grizzly Redwood from Ring of Honor, giant beard, lumberjack gimmick. You see where I'm going here. Then I would go and sign M-Dog, giant beard. They would all be 3 lumberjacks. And in fact, Fellers, F-E-L-L-E-R-S, is a synonym for a lumberjack, as in you've chopped down and the tree fell, so they would be the Fellers, and that would be my 6-man tag team division.
Wow.
You're grimacing on that one. Why are you grimacing?
No, because let's be honest, in today's day and age, that can be taken another way.
Feller?
Yeah, it could be Fellers. You know, they could be homosexual lumberjacks. Why not?
Would that mean pink plaid?
Possibly. They swing more than their axe.
Awesome. That would be great. By the way, as a side note, in that six-man division, you can have standard tag rules, or I would allow Lucha Libre.
Like tornado rule, or just...
Yeah, like when somebody leaves the ring, somebody else can come in. And in the future storyline, by the way, because I thought about it, many months down the road, ODB would threaten to sue because whoever's in charge would not let her compete in the six-man division with two males as her partners. I think that would be a funny storyline. But so I put aces and eights over. The Colony would eventually win the titles, and we'd just see how the Lumberjacks would do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea. What I don't think is a good idea is you need to have guys that can really go in that kind of a division. Because people are going to get bored with...
Right.
That's where I'm going with aces and eights. I mean, those guys are big. They're not going to be running the ropes and doing...
True. You got a point there.
You got to keep it fresh. I mean, that was the one thing WCW did well when they did their kind of six-man...
Oh, with all the luchadors.
It was... Not to use the phrase, total nonstop action, but I mean, at least from bell to bell... There wasn't a lot of stop, rest, hold. I mean, you got six guys that you got to keep going in the ring. There should not be that many lockups and rest holds.
Sure. Okay. I'll give you that. I get the valid point. So there's tag teams right there. So, all right.
Now, what about your, did you want to go to the ladies division?
We can go to the ladies division. Here's one more quick. I label this as a notable feud.
Okay.
Okay, not because I don't think it needs a belt. I think it's a feud that would stand alone. Another signee, I would sign Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Matt versus Jeff.
Yeah.
Who was the brother that held that carried the team?
I'm surprised that they haven't.
I know. I'm surprised that, too, because Matt did a really good job in Ring of Honor of being, I'm the superstar, you know.
I'm sure Hulk Hogan doesn't like him or something.
Probably. But that, I mean, I think that would be a money-drawing feud, Jeff versus Matt, and just let him go.
Now, what are your feelings on, you know, you talk about guys in the front office or the face of.
Ooh.
What about instead of, and I think this would be a great mouthpiece going into the gimmick that I had with the invasion angle. Can you imagine putting Jeff Jarrett back in the ring as a mouthpiece for TNA in like a Ring of Honor ring?
Oh.
And drawing heat
for
those guys?
Yeah, I think that would work.
I mean, he's just really, because he's one of those guys that, I mean, he was over, but he wasn't. You know what I mean? He was wrestling kind of probably past his prime, but I just think he was always real good on the mic and could promote the hell out of the company.
Sure. You know, I actually never thought about like a spokesperson.
Yeah.
I mean, Dixie Carter's not a good spokesperson.
And I mean, I had, you know, Jeremy Borash kind of leading the charge. But, I mean, I think he's too much of a good guy.
Yeah.
And when you're going into the ROH arena, whatever you want to call it, I mean, you got to draw the heat.
Right. But if they're going to Baltimore, Dude Burns Arena or wherever they're at. Yeah, right. And I think Jarrett would be good in that particular capacity, if you will. I'd go for that, sure.
Okay.
Like I said, I never thought about it. All right, so the ladies. I guess the question is this, and I guess because she was there for a while, and yes, we have somewhat of a I guess you could say history with her. Would you re-sign Madison Rain? I mean, I didn't even consider it, given, you know, I mean, you know, she's out. You know, it's public knowledge that she's expecting her first child. And that's why they didn't renew her contract. Would you resign?
Yeah, I mean, it depends.
Same here. I really didn't even put her down because I was just assuming that, again, in our particular pretend universe, we walk into Orlando tomorrow.
With a sack of money?
With a sack. We drive in a Brinks truck right up to the door.
As long as the bags have a green dollar sign on the outside. But getting to your point, I mean, I think the Beautiful People was a great gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
They just didn't have anybody to go against,
really. No.
So it just kind of died.
Yeah.
But, again, it depends on where you're going with
it. Okay. All right. Would you add anybody to that division?
Oh, you got to bring Beth Phoenix in.
Yes, I definitely have that. Beth Phoenix has to come back. Has to come back to wrestling. Excuse me. Has to come to TNA. I agree. Would you use her as a heel or as a face?
I'd probably start her as a face because I think she would draw a lot of cheer.
Okay. Same.
But I mean, I don't know what the hell she's doing these days.
Apparently nothing, from what I researched. Not a thing.
I mean, she's obviously taking a break. I don't know if the door is open. I know you don't like her. The door is open for Eve Torres to come in, maybe. Just for a little recognition, maybe just a 4 or 5 show deal.
Okay.
I mean, you have Gail Kim in there. Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of Mickie James. I think she does a good job. I think she's getting a little long in the tooth, to use a bad catchphrase.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. She's just been around too long.
Oh, okay, so it's a case of not so much her age, but she's just been around and there's not been a break.
She needs something fresh.
Yeah, maybe give her some time off to do the country album.
Whatever you call that, yeah.
Sure. Speaking of which, I'll have to remind me to tell you when we're off the air about the fabulous song I heard, because it was on another podcast, and, you know, I don't know about the legalities of it, but...
All right.
Okay, in terms of my knockouts division, number one... Taryn Terrell goes back to being the referee.
Yeah,
because I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, have a
that was
referee.
A really, really good idea, and she was decent at it. She had the knack for it. She goes back right away. There's no two ways about it. I would keep Gail Kim and Mickie James in there.
Yep.
I would keep ODB and Tessmacher.
I see. I as much as I like her personally, I don't like ODB.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Okay. You know, the gimmicks.
Yeah, I mean, she's a good. I think she's a good worker.
Okay,
but I don't know. I just get tired. Maybe I'm getting old. I just get tired of the gimmick.
All right. Okay. I would bring in Beth Phoenix as a face. I would bring back cheerleader Melissa as a face. And for my other two heels, because I think if you keep it to about 8 girls, you're good. Mm-hmm. 8 women, you know.
Yeah.
And if you need to maybe go get an indie girl just to feed somebody, I mean, you can go do that. For my other two heels, I would bring in Amazing Kong back.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they haven't.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what she's doing, but
I don't know.
I don't know if she's working at all.
I don't think so. I don't know. And then the other one is I know that you probably may not be too familiar with her work, but I'd bring in former Shimmer champ Madison Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, I know the name. I don't know.
She was good. So I mean, as I bring those in, I would put Mickie James in a little program, maybe with ODB or Tessmacher, maybe let them go, and in the meantime, bring in Melissa and let cheerleader Melissa and Gail Kim go, because I think that would build credibility as Melissa's, you know, going along, build her so that Melissa can be the one to defeat Mickie James and be the champ. I would put the belt on her.
You know, a name popped into my head that I was thinking about, maybe not so much Eve Torres, but what about Melina Perez? I mean... There's somebody that people would recognize, at least.
Right, exactly.
Excuse me, to put a face to the
correct.
To the
she's doing
division.
Lots of indies, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, in the meantime, I would have Madison Eagles kind of working her thing with Tessmacher or ODB, whoever you didn't pair, so that Madison Eagles would be primed to be the next contender. And then I'm going to pitch in the Knockouts division another one of those notable feuds that I don't think needs a belt: Kong Phoenix.
No, yeah. Everybody's been waiting for it.
Yeah, it's what you expected when Carmel was in the WWE. You were like, yes, finally, these two big, strong women are going to, you know, it's going to be awesome.
Yep.
And it never happened. So
never happened.
Yeah, I think that's what you feed the people. So, all right. So we are certainly rolling right through here. How about the X Division?
That's a tough one.
Would you keep it or would you get rid of it?
I would keep it because, again, I think... If they do it correctly, it sets itself apart from anything else that's going on.
Would you keep it as like it was back in the day? Anything goes. Anybody can compete.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think that the Ultimate X match was good at the time. I think that that's kind of overkill now. They do it
too much. Yeah, they do it all the time. It's not a big deal. I don't care anymore.
But I think what would be neat is if they gave some... I'm going to say interesting rules. I don't know. Maybe like a short time limit, like a 10-minute time limit or something, and it has to be defended on TV every week. Something like that where you're making people want to stick around to see it as opposed to it always being a curtain jerk match or...
Okay.
You know, because if you remember back in the day, the X Division match would be the main event a lot of the times.
Yeah, right, yeah, right, because, yeah, exactly, especially in the formative years.
I'm glad they're dropping the triple threat thing for The X Division. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Yeah, they're not going to do Triple Threat. Because that was the only way it was defended anymore, was Triple Threat.
Oh, okay. So they're dropping not doing that anymore? It's just going to be one-on-one?
Yes.
That was an asinine idea to begin with.
I thought so, too.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to... I agree with you. You have to find some way to make it meaningful. I probably would limit it to smaller guys, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I would let like, the Samoa Joe would not be the X Division champ, like, you know, back in the day. But I think you're right. I think you have to find some type of way to make it mean something. And in fact, you know, maybe you let somebody... I don't know. I don't see where letting somebody, like, for an example, what they did with Punk, letting them run a very long time with a title. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I don't either.
In 2013. I think it still works. Maybe you do that. I don't know. I think that's the trouble with the X Division is you're right. It's overplayed. They've overplayed their hand with it, and I, again, much like, hey, cash it in for a title shot. Okay, who would you add or dismiss from that division or whatnot?
Oh, gosh, I can't... I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I dove deep into that division. trying to think about some guys. I mean, I guess that's where I would probably put, like, a Roderick Strong. I would definitely keep Saban in there.
I think he's awesome.
I think... Zema Ion, you keep in there.
Right, and I have that down when he's medically cleared because I don't know if he's cleared yet or not. I keep Kenny King in it.
Yeah,
I think Kenny King's too. Good. Here's my suggestions. I would bring back Petey Williams full time, but I would give him I just wrote down like this. I thought it sounded sweet. I don't know, polished Petey Williams. Like, he would be the arrogant, cocky heel.
Okay.
Like, the beautiful heel. You know what I mean? I think he could pull that off. So I would have him. I would keep Saban in there. I would re-sign Sanjay Dutt if they haven't already. Mm-hmm. I don't know about him. I think he's good.
What about Jay Lethal?
Oh. Well, again, for me, I wasn't thinking along those lines like you did of this kind of ROH crossover, if you will. I just left him out. Who I said I would sign would be Jigsaw and Quackenbush.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would.
For sure. Jigsaw, for sure.
Yeah.
Quackenbush, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the guy personally. I just wonder what he's like backstage.
I was saying the same thing because I've heard some stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? So, I mean, but I would bring those in. I like, to an extent, the manic character, but I think they do a piss poor job with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen where everybody knows it's TJ Perkins from Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. from PWG. So, and I don't like how they've done this where he will do these interviews without the mask on and he's just normal TJ, but he puts the mask on and he's still TJ Perkins. What's the difference? Why wear the fucking mask then? If you just put it on, you wrestle the same way. It's done. Either stay in the mask or not. So my suggestion would be, okay, either if you're not going to keep the mask on, then you just become TJ Perkins. But if you want to keep the whole gimmick, then I think you do something kind of crazy and out there where he's mild-mannered TJ Perkins, he puts the mask on, and he's this crazed lunatic, you know?
It's like Super Eric like they did back in the day.
Yeah, right. Like, I actually was thinking of Luke Gallows. Like, remember when he was Festus?
Yeah.
Like, the bell rings and he's a maniac? That's what I would do. Like, as soon as he puts the mask on, like, he's, you know, you could even do things where, like, maybe he doesn't want to put the mask on because he's like, I don't want to, you know, beat this guy up too badly, but he's getting beat, and then eventually, you know, he puts the mask on, and then he's a fucking house of fire, and, you know. I think it's a good character. I think they just did a little shit with it.
You're right. They're just making it a costume more than anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here's some cool gear. Wear it. You know. But I think I would put Manic and Saban together as a feud mm-hmm. for a few months. I would put Sanjay and Kenny King together in a feud as well. Possibly to put Kenny King as the heir to Saban going over, or, you know, honestly, you see right here, I was putting Saban over him, but maybe you let Manic run with that title for a while if it takes off and give credibility to that title.
Okay.
You know? And then I had that I think that just Petey and Zema Ion versus Quack and Jigsaw would be a great tag match. I think that that would be just amazing, you know?
And even if you had, put the guys from the Colony in there too,
right? That was the thing that I was going to mention. I think that there's some leeway that you could take Quack and Jigsaw, put them in the tag team title mm-hmm. picture, and you could take the Colony and put them in the X Division.
Quack Jig,
Quack Jig. No, Quacksaw, actually. Quacksaw? I think that's what they called him. Quacksaw.
Quacksaw?
I think that's what they called him in Chicago. Quacksaw.
Wow. What about Los Ice Creams? Would you bring those guys in, too? As long as we're talking Chicago?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess here's the only question mark that I put, because I did research last night because I wasn't sure about the relationship. OVW is still the kind of
training ground. Yep,
training ground for TNA. Would you keep that around?
Yeah, I think I would run a little bit more parallel with it.
How so? Like in?
I think you can bring guys in for, let's say, an X Division tag match or something. Like two guys say they're from Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Okay, all right.
You know, that's the training ground for TNA, Ohio
right.
Valley.
These sure, guys, sure.
I mean, there's never any mention of it.
Right, okay. That's the same thing that I was thinking. I just, when you threw out the word parallel.
Sorry.
I'm not a good mathematician. So no. I was like, what? Huh? Yeah, I think that too. I mean, I kind of, actually, I won't lie. Last night, I don't know much about OVW. I don't know what's going on down there. You can watch their show online. Mm-hmm. So I watched a little bit of it. And I think that there's some really talented people down there that you could do that. And exactly, that was what I was thinking. Like, if I'm crowning six-man tag team champs, you know, you got three teams already established. Maybe you bring in a couple teams.
Yeah.
You know, here is, you know, oh crap! Well, they have a threesome down there already. The VIP, I think they're okay. called. So they're supposed to be like club guys, but they all have a good look. You bring them in, and you
could
know,
even do
them.
Something along the lines of you have some kind of tag tournament in OVW with the winner getting like a 2 out of 3 falls title shot in TNA.
Would you bring OVW titles up onto Impact Wrestling?
I think if they are the champions, heck yes, I would.
So you'd bring the OVW champion up to
absolutely.
Face to defend his title?
Absolutely, I would.
Okay, all right. I would too. I would think that.
And I honestly don't know why, since they have an NXT champion in WWE, why they don't do that.
Yeah, that is yeah, good point.
I mean, they show the stupid TV show on their website, but there's no promotion of it really on Raw or SmackDown. So how do you expect people are just going to be like, oh, let me check this out? I mean, they don't really promote it all that much.
That's a good point. Is Bo Dallas still the champion?
I think so, yes.
Huh. That is a good, valid point. That is a very valid point. One I never thought about.
I don't know.
Would you keep TNA's idea of those stupid replay pay-per-views, if you will? They have one coming up like September 6th with the Knockout. See the best. Why? I would get rid of those right away.
Yeah.
I think that's a waste of time and energy and production.
And I think, again, like we went back before talking about marketing, you got to promote those pay-per-views a little bit more. I have no idea what their buy rates are, but I know what WWE's buy rates are for their secondary and tertiary pay-per-views, and they suck. I mean, they're getting 350,000 buys.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what they're not pulling in TNA. I haven't seen any numbers.
I haven't either. And
I'm going to guess it's less than 400,000.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be way less than that, probably. I mean, yeah, because it doesn't seem... You're right. They don't seem to promote anything. With the exception of the one in October. Is that Bound for Glory?
Yeah,
I mean, and they've done that with that, you know, the Bound for Glory series, which, I don't know about you, I think that's a bright spot TNA. I think it's a unique concept. I like that concept. I think that's something that you keep around.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing it as well as they have done in the past, though.
Really? This time?
Yeah, they're just throwing kind of random matches together and saying this is for 10 points. Well, what about all the other guys? When are they going to get their chance? I mean, they don't really have a structure around it.
Oh, okay. Like,
tonight you'll
see, okay,
you know, Coors Light versus Yingling, and the winner will get the winner will get 10 points. But what about everybody else on the roster? You don't really talk about. I mean, I don't know how many are in the series. Let's say it's 10.
I think it's 14.
14. Okay, 14. So you don't know what the other 12 guys. Okay. How are they going to get that chance to make up that 10 points?
Right. Yeah. No. I got you.
If we're going to keep it fresh and interesting, and you want to actually get behind somebody to win one of these matches, you know.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it that way. Thanks for revealing to everybody. There's two beers on the table.
I didn't say that. That's just the first beers that came to mind.
breaking kayfabe. Mm. Yeah, I mean, my thing, I get what you're saying now, and I never looked at it that way, but you're absolutely right. Now that I think back, you're right. There's no, like tonight, that ladder match, you win 10 points. How do you catch up then?
Right.
Yeah. It's like if you're winning a basketball and you take away the three-point line for the other team, they're never going to catch up.
Well, yeah, that doesn't seem right. I would like to see, I don't know about necessarily tournament brackets, but, have like a set of matches every week or something where everybody in that 14 has a chance to win something.
Here's something. Would you do it, and again, I don't know how much you followed this, and I just started following it this year. Would you do it like in Japan, the G1 Climax, where it's like a round robin? And you have two different blocks. So you have, seven wrestlers in one block, seven wrestlers in another block, and they get the points, but they wrestle within their own block until...
And they get seeded based on the points?
Yeah, and then they go through the tournament. The top winners of the block face off for the championship. That's how it works. But I see what you're saying. You could seed based on that in a one-night tournament. You could do it that way. And that, over there in Japan, I believe the winners of the two blocks go on to face one another.
There you go. And actually, that was one of my ideas for the ROH TNA Invasion, was almost like a, I don't call it King of the Mountain or King of Wrestling, but like a pay-per-view where you'll have like the top eight guys in TNA wrestle within their own bracket, and the top eight guys in ROH wrestle in their own bracket, with the winner of both facing off in like an Iron Man match or something, or cage match, or something, some gimmick match that's an endurance-based.
Okay.
They've already wrestled 2-3 matches that night, and they're coming in, and the winner, I don't know if you want to give it a belt or just like a trophy, and maybe something that's only they do maybe once every 2 years or something.
Yeah,
to make really, really important.
Worth something, yeah, right.
Because I think the tournament style has really gone by the wayside, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah, no, yeah, right.
Because, that's what set apart WrestleMania 4. You tuned in to see the tournament. King of the Ring, you used to tune in to see the tournament. Now they don't do it anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. Then that, yeah, definitely.
I don't know why. That's a gimmick.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they'd rather do the Elimination Chamber. But that's not.
Would you bring War Games to TNA?
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry, Jeff.
I would bring War Games. I would to TNA. I probably would, yeah. Not the stupid three towers on top of one another. No. That's stupid. But I would do the side-by-side ring with the cage. In fact, I would probably, as it was mentioned on the last podcast, with like Parade of Champions, I would do like an X Division match where you, on that same show, where you'd have the two rings side-by-side, and they could just... You could have a six-man match... Lucha style, you could be in either ring and, have two referees and just go.
What about going back to TNA's roots, maybe a pay-per-view once a year with a six-sided ring?
Yeah. Because those things just got to be laying around Jeff Jarrett's house.
It's actually his bed. There's sheets on that bad boy. But, again, that was another thing that quote-unquote set him apart from anybody else. And they've completely gotten away from everything that set him apart.
Sure,
because Hulk Hogan knows better than everybody else.
Sure, well, Hogan knows best.
Hence, right, why
didn't
I
you watch the
him.
Show?
Yes, and the alternative version as well. But, yeah, he's one of the... I think he is the ultimate cancer for TNA.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody throws it on Dixie Carter, and that's fine, but let's be honest. Who's running the show?
Right. Yeah, sure.
She's got the money. She's got the check.
Right.
She has the ultimate say, I guess. But
right.
It's Hogan that's doing everything.
You're absolutely correct.
If that company goes down, I'm sure he'll come up with some excuse as to why it wasn't his fault, like he always does. But
are you surprised they got rid of Brooke Hogan? Because she was going to be on the list of people that get fired.
Well, I don't know why she was there to begin with.
Exactly. I thought she was supposed to be singing.
Yeah. Singing for her supper. That's for sure.
Or is there anybody else, that you would keep or get rid of or anything? Like, would you keep the announce team together?
No.
You would get rid of them? Who would you get rid of?
Taz. I don't like Taz.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, I guess he and Tanae do okay together.
I'll be honest. I don't like Taz as part of Aces and Eights. That's ridiculously dumb. I think that he's done a good job with Tanae. I think so. But I hate the whole Aces and Eights. Yeah. Who would you replace him with?
I don't know. That's the tough part, because I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Kevin Kelly in ROH. I think he's okay. I liked Nigel McGuinness when he was doing the announcing, and now he's doing the more of the commissioner gimmick whatever.
Sure.
I would like to see, I guess, a more charismatic kind of wrestler.
I'll throw out a name. Would you get Val Venus to come? No, not charismatic enough.
I think he's just been gone for too long.
Okay, all right.
Unfortunately.
I don't ask why that name popped in my head. I have no idea. Really, seriously, it just was quick. I don't know.
And like I said, I think Taz is okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I enjoyed when it was Don West and Tanay just because it was something different.
Sure.
You know, Don West brought a different kind of attitude to the announce team, but I don't know. Man, you put me on the spot. I guess I should have figured that out, who I would have put.
Well, oh, no, I don't even have it on my list either, because I would have kept, like I said, I just get rid of Christy Hemme just because she's too expensive. And I don't think she's very good. I don't think she's very good as a ring announcer. She's really good to look at, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's true what she makes a year, I say it's guilt money. Like, they feel bad because she broke her neck training, you know, wrestling. And I think that's why they wrote her that big fat check every year, because I think that's, I mean...
I guess it's possible,
sure.
It's
possible. But, I mean, I'd keep everybody else. I'd keep Borash.
I like Borash.
Yeah, I would keep him. I'd let him do ring announcing or backstage, you know, that's what I would do. I would, if we had to have a backstage interviewer, I'd throw SoCal Val at it.
Yeah. And I always liked when Shane Douglas did it.
Oh, Shane Douglas would be awesome. Yeah, yeah, he was awesome.
He was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe bring him back as a color commentator. I mean, he's done some time. He did some color commentary in ECW. It was entertaining.
Which, by the way, he shows up in the WWE 25 Greatest Rivalries disc.
Really?
Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas and...
He talks about the...
he talks about it.
Yeah, he talks about the Sabu-Taz feud.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm just kind of surprised to see him after all the crap he went through with Vince and...
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
Sorry, sidebar.
Maybe Triple H, paved or mend some bridges or mend some fences or whatever that fucking saying is.
Speaking of Triple H,
okay.
Now that we're talking about it,
all right.
The one big gripe I had about that DVD is there's like either three or four feuds with Triple H in the top 25.
In the top 25?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was just like, really? There's that many that.
What are those four? Wait, can I guess them?
Sure.
Let me guess them, because I have not seen the WWE's 25 Greatest Rivalries DVD. I'm going to say it's Shawn Michaels and Triple H's rivalry.
Nope.
Really?
Really? Nope. No.
Triple H and Cena?
Nope.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, those aren't really rivalries. I guess they had several very
There was one that I was surprised at, I'll tell you. It was Triple H and The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
well,
they feuded mid-card, though.
Yeah.
That was the whole
Nation
versus DX thing, and none of them were really that established yet.
Was Triple H and Kane one of them?
No. The other ones were Triple H and Mick Foley.
Okay.
And Triple H and Randy Orton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Exactly.
That's only three, though.
Yeah, I think there might have only been three, but I mean... Steve Austin only had one. Or he had two, I guess.
Because he had Bret Hart.
No.
No. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, who was his two?
The Rock and...
The Rock was going to be the other one.
Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah. But...
Yeah, no Bret Hart. I was surprised. That was a big feud.
Wow.
I know, but... Okay. I know we're digressing.
We're getting off topic. But, okay. Anything else? Any other ideas you want to throw out there? Anything else you want to wrap up? I'm done. All my notes are done. For booking TNA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, my biggest thing was the invasion angle. And also the marketing. Especially even with ROH. I mean, I know they're affiliated with Sinclair, but, I mean, there's other Fox stations. I mean, the CW is owned by Fox. I mean, that's something not CW, sorry. My Network TV, which unfortunately is WWE's stomping ground now.
Oh, yeah.
They're owned by Fox. But, you know, CW used to have SmackDown. I'm sorry, that is a Viacom CBS network.
CW?
CW is, yes. That's why I had it under here.
Okay.
I
mean, so you think they could do some cross-promotion on the
CW?
Yeah,
and I think that would be the biggest thing that I would invest my money in.
And the CW is, again, that target demographic.
Yeah.
It's young, you know, because we talked about it last episode of this PBD cast, you know, Arrow. is actually a decent show on the CW in a a network that's built around not very good deep, you know, because it's targeted towards young kids.
Like you said, Comedy Central, they do a lot of those. Like, I don't know, let's call them Saturday night movies, where it's like the cast of the new movie, Dick in a Box.
Right.
Hosting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, Bridesmaid.
Right. You could have Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, join them Saturday afternoon as we watch all the airplane movies, or whatever. Yeah, right. Exactly.
The possibilities are endless.
The roast of Hulk Hogan on Comedy Central.
Oh. Can I be on that? I don't know.
You don't know him.
I don't care. I don't need to know him. I got enough material.
I mean, but yeah, I totally agree
and
with
one,
you.
One thing that I also had as far as the invasion angle that I thought would be a good tie is you had all those guys, like I said, that came from the ROH brand,
mm-hmm.
and they could almost teeter onto which side they were going to go with.
Ooh, okay.
Like, yeah. You get...
Ooh.
Jay Lethal in the ring, who's completely TNA now, and he's talking to Styles, hey,
right,
man,
yeah.
These guys kick me to the curb, and they'll do the same to you. And
yeah, right, yeah. That's really good. I like that.
They could lead up to, your six-man tags and things like that. I mean, it doesn't have to be overkill.
Right.
But, God, you could build that up for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line to this whole idea of this book it idea is that there's a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Right now in TNA, that's just not being used properly. It's not being used in an effective manner, and I think that shows in the product. And overall, I think you'll agree with me on this. A better TNA product, a better Ring of Honor product, will make a better WWE product.
That was going to be my ultimate there, is the two of those things together should push Vince to put out a better product.
Right. And overall, all wrestling fans are happy.
Yeah, they're going to win.
They're going to win, exactly. Totally.
Yeah, I just... Like you said, there's so much potential, and unfortunately, Ring of Honor just isn't in a good spot to really get out there and mm-hmm. show people what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, because there's a lot of good workers out there that could really benefit from something like that.
Well, and even if you boil it down to our level... A stronger overall wrestling climate benefits guys that are in the indies and helps them. Because, I mean, I think everybody that's been on this podcast that's a worker understands that, the chances and the opportunities aren't there because it's not a strong climate. Because if you have those big three clicking along, it's still going to trickle down. You know what I mean? It's still going to trickle down to... PWG would get stronger, and then you could, you'd have all these other indie promotions that would get stronger, that guys could go there and still get noticed and move up the chain and maybe make better money.
Yeah, and I was even thinking about that. I wouldn't say a lot of research, I guess, on TNA itself, but I did start looking around at other companies. Like, I was looking at PWG, and I was looking at, Full Impact Pro and some of those bigger indies out there that... you could even pull them into the mix somehow.
Sure,
throw them a bone.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. I mean, I think that I'll be honest here. I'm going to mark out a little bit. I really admire PWG because they are so grassroots, and from everything I've read and from what little bit I've seen online, they do a fabulous job with just a very simplistic setup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no elaborate entranceway or anything. They just get good, solid workers, and they build a very strong fan base. I mean, I think from what I read, that Reseda, California, that their little armory that they're at, pulling 400 people. And even though they had to raise ticket prices to cover the price of the building going up, people aren't bitching.
Yeah.
They went from $20 to $25. They're still selling out. People are still going, we don't care. It's a good product. We're coming. Ultimately, I think that's the goal here for this type of... addition of the PVD cast is just to see, what ideas could make things better if given the opportunity.
Absolutely. And there's a lot out there.
There is. All right, well, we're getting up to about an hour and five. Maybe we'll start wrapping things up here for this edition. I'm going to plug where you can get a hold of me at. Of course, you can get a hold of me at PVD MVP. That's a Twitter. Sorry for that long
pause. Wow,
I'm sorry. I was distracted for a minute.
You didn't have like a mini stroke or something, did you?
No. Okay. No, I didn't.
Good.
Something clicked in my head for a minute while I was in the middle of that. So I'm going to back up for a minute.
Okay.
Because this is going to Well, you know what? I'll talk about that in a minute. So anyways, right. Twitter at PVDMVP. If you want to shoot me an email, it's pvdcast@mail.com. Anything you want to shill, plug, or anything?
No, I'm new to the Twitter scene. It's at ARV2680. Feel free. I haven't done anything real exciting yet. I'm still kind of learning the ropes.
Yeah,
but
I gotcha.
Feel free.
Orlando's fave, it's only one thing. And it's also not only a fave, but this is what distracted me a few moments ago.
Gotcha.
But I'm also going to make it into a challenge. Next Friday night here in Columbus, Ohio, downtown at Columbus Commons, there's going to be a free concert. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have. I don't know how, but I've heard about it.
I don't know, John. You and your goddamn crusade. Yeah. Anyways, my crusade is that it's a free concert. Blues Traveler is the main event. Rick Derringer is going to be there. Everyone, tweet Rick Derringer at Rick Derringer, DERRINGER. Demand that he plays Real American. It's free. I got my tickets already. I went to Mikey's Midnight Slice and got, or Late Night Slice and got my tickets. It's free. I'm going. He goddamn better play that song.
So it is free, but you need tickets.
Yeah, is that not weird?
It's very weird.
It is. It's free. They just gave you the tickets. They gave them to you. They're like, here, okay. Okay. Two for you, and the person I was with, they were like, two for you. I'm like, no, there's only two of us, not four. You know, so.
Where is Columbus Commons, by the way?
It's downtown. It's where the old mall used to be, city center. They it's a nice city park. It's very nice.
Well, I'm figuring if you're shilling the concert, you might want to tell us.
Sure, right.
Exactly,
excuse me. I was getting there.
Yes.
So, yes, it's downtown Columbus. It's where the old city center used to be. Next Friday, August 30th, I think everybody should tweet Rick Derringer, once again, at Rick Derringer, DERRINGER, let him know that he better play Real American. Or ask him nicely, please, Rick, play Real American. Or whatever you want to do, I don't care.
After he plays Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, of course.
Oh, I'm pretty damn certain that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
The question will be, will Mean Gene Okerlund sing it with him?
That would be sweet. This is true.
That would be awesome. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close. Adam, thanks for coming on. It was fun. I hope you had fun.
I did, yes.
Okay, cool.
Look forward to another time.
Flexing our creative muscle here, so
absolutely.
To speak. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening, and I'll talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.